50 years ago, Monsanto invented something that would change the world forever.
Roundup. No root, no weed, no problem.
But Roundup was more than just a good weed killer.
We've been using the weed killer for decades, but now it's at the center of a billion-dollar health scandal.
Did Roundup weed killer cause a man to get cancer?
There's many, many diseases that are linked to glyphosate exposure.
My doctor, he goes, you know, I think this is all due to Roundup.
What made Roundup so effective was the chemical glyphosate that, thanks to Monsanto, has become the most popular pesticide in the world, and now one that's linked to cancer.
My patient's dying just so their shareholders can make a few more bucks, just so their CEO can get a bonus.
Despite its links to cancer, Roundup is still a billion-dollar business. So how exactly did Monsanto pull this off?
There was an intentional effort to deceive that took place over many, many decades.
And now Monsanto has a new owner, a billion-dollar pharmaceutical firm. And together, they're working on a way to keep selling Roundup, no matter the cost.
This is right out of the tobacco industry playbook from decades ago. And we got to make sure the politicians don't fall for it again this time.
It would kill pretty much any plant it was sprayed on. That was in the period when we were naive about a lot of things.
John Gilbert is a farmer in Iowa who's seen how Roundup came to dominate agriculture in the state.
I think it's gone from a habit to an addiction.
Roundup came on the market in 1974. By the 90s, Monsanto had developed something to turn Roundup from a convenient tool to a necessity.
Monsanto had this brilliant idea to roll out what they called genetically modified crops.
Genetically modified crops were seeds that Monsanto engineered to be resistant to Roundup. So when farmers sprayed their fields, it would kill the weeds, but not their crops.
It was a big ground shift when the modified crops came out, because it was orders of magnitude difference in how much was being used.
In 1974, 1.4 million pounds of glyphosate were used in U.S. agriculture. By 2014, that number had grown to 276 million pounds.
Became the world's most widely used weed killer, and Monsanto's profits just went through the roof.
Roundup was responsible for half of Monsanto's total sales in 2000. It was called a savior for the farmer because it was so effective while supposedly being safer than other pesticides.
There were some people associated with Monsanto who would describe it as safe enough to drink.
You can drink a whole quart of it and it won't hurt you.
You want to drink some? We have some here.
I'd be happy to, actually.
That came really from a comparison to a rival weed killer called Paraquat that was sold by a competitor to Monsanto. And Paraquat, very much, if you would swallow even a teaspoon of it, you would be dead within a matter of weeks.
But Monsanto marketed Roundup as an alternative that was safe for humans and the environment.
They say, oh, it disappears when it hits the soil, so that makes it safe.
I've learned in my life, if it kills insects, if it kills weeds, kills fungus, it can't be helpful to you.
Jim Huberger grew up working on his family's farm, where they used Roundup to control weeds in their soybean fields, and later at a plant nursery.
Jim would use a backpack to use Roundup around those areas in the pot and pot and around the greenhouse.
In 2022, he was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, a type of cancer with links to glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup.
For people who don't know non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, it's not curable. You can treat it. You can put it into remission. But it's not curable.
The cancer risks of pesticides like glyphosate have been hidden from the public for decades.
The first hint that this chemical may not be as safe as people thought really was back in the 1980s.
Back in 1985, one study submitted to the EPA revealed that mice who were given glyphosate developed tumors.
You could see that the EPA scientists at that time were very worried about this product and thought that it looked like it could be oncogenic, that it could cause cancer.
The EPA issued a memo listing glyphosate as a Category C oncogen, meaning it was possibly carcinogenic to humans. But Monsanto didn't just accept these findings. they lobbied for the EPA to change its findings for 6 years, which it did.
The EPA ultimately capitulated to Monsanto and said, all right, we'll discount those findings and we will agree with you that it doesn't cause cancer.
But that was just the start of a decades-long battle over the science. Soon, more and more studies came out that seemed to prove glyphosate was, in fact, safe. In 2000, a study by three well-regarded scientists concluded glyphosate posed no indication of any human health concern.
What we found is that it really was not an independent study at all. It was actually ghostwritten by Monsanto's own scientists. And the word ghostwritten didn't come from me or from outsiders, but actually came from Monsanto, talking about how we ghostwrote that paper.
Monsanto did this not just once, but repeatedly for multiple years, giving themselves the ammunition they needed to keep glyphosate classified as non-carcinogenic. But in 2015, Monsanto's narrative that glyphosate was safe started to crack.
The International Agency for Research on Cancer came out and said, we have weighed the evidence and we have determined that it is a probable human carcinogen with specific evidence of links to non-Hodgkin lymphoma.
IARC's classification of glyphosate as a probable carcinogen was groundbreaking. It directly contradicted the EPA's position and led to several countries restricting glyphosate's use or banning it entirely, but not the United States.
You saw them emails in which Monsanto is sending talking points to the EPA. The company is telling the EPA what to say and when to say it and how it should say it.
The EPA maintained its stance on glyphosate, but the IARC announcement paved the way for something much more American.
Jury selection is underway in a case that pits a Bay Area man against the chemical giant company Monsanto.
IARC's ruling sparked a wave of lawsuits against Monsanto for failing to warn consumers that Roundup contained chemicals that could cause cancer. Monsanto executives were looking for a way out.
Monsanto very actively was working to sell the company. The executives were looking, you know, to rake in as much as they could and jump ship. And Bayer, you know, came a call in and was a very willing buyer.
Bayer, the German company, they want to buy Monsanto.
This is a merger that would create the world's largest agricultural supplier.
Bayer, the $57 billion German conglomerate, bought Monsanto in 2018. Just months later, the company settled the first major Roundup lawsuit for a whopping $289 million.
Investors were furious, and you know, it created an uproar for Bayer that has not subsided.
So far, Bayer has paid out a total of $10 billion in Roundup lawsuits.
I don't like lawsuits. Sometimes it's what it takes to get something changed.
After his diagnosis, Jim got in touch with a lawyer and filed a lawsuit against Monsanto in 2023.
My pay hurt terribly. The money that we lost from lost wages, I would just love to have that money that we lost.
It didn't take long for Monsanto's lawyers to come to Jim with a lowball settlement offer.
Jim and I, we couldn't believe it. We had to call our lawyer back again and said, what is this? And our lawyer said that Monsanto counts on the people that are getting tired of waiting, maybe old, and maybe thinking, what, you know, am I going to still be alive to finish up with this lawsuit?
Bayer has settled around 114,000 Roundup lawsuits. Roughly 67,000 cases still remain. Bayer told us it stands behind the safety of its glyphosate-based products, and to provide a cancer warning on Roundup product materials would be misleading, confusing, and just plain false.
The company did have conversations with some of the leading plaintiff's attorneys in the litigation. And the plaintiff's attorneys really said, you know, if we're going to achieve a global settlement, if we're really going to put an end to this litigation, the way to do it is for Bayer to put, you know, a very definitive and detailed warning label on its products. But Bayer has resisted that and continued to, you know, search for other ways to end the litigation and really just does not want to put a warning label on these products.
Instead, Bayer's quietly embarked on a five-step plan to end the lawsuits without having to put a warning label on Roundup.
Iowa State senators passed a bill to protect pesticide companies from lawsuits. Senate Bill 394 would protect the companies from civil liability if their warning labels are registered with the EPA.
Essentially, what they're saying is if there's a label that's been approved by the EPA, you're not eligible to sue us for any damages.
In 2025, legislators in 11 states introduced bills to effectively give legal immunity to pesticide makers.
It doesn't take long to see Bayer's fingerprints all over this.
Austin Baith is a Democratic state representative in Iowa. He's also a palliative care doctor who works with cancer patients.
This is something that makes absolutely no political sense for a politician here in Iowa when we're in the middle of a cancer crisis to be supporting a bill that protects a potential culprit of our cancer crisis.
To have a big multinational corporation with the extremely deep pockets come in and try and say, oh, we need protection from litigation for these things, seems very disingenuous, if not outright insulting.
It felt like they aren't being held liable for this, and I was angry, very angry.
Whether you talk to a Democrat, a Republican, an independent, or somebody who doesn't care about politics at all, and you tell them the basics of this bill, they think it's dumb. They think it's dumb that we give legal protections to a corporation while Iowans are suffering from cancer.
In one poll, 89% of Iowans said they opposed giving chemical companies immunity from lawsuits. The bill failed in Iowa, but it was successful in two other states. Now in Georgia and North Dakota, no one can sue a pesticide company for failing to warn of cancer risks, as long as the company follows EPA labeling. In a statement, the EPA said the agency is currently updating its evaluation of the carcinogenic potential of glyphosate, but that the underlying scientific findings, including that glyphosate is not likely to be carcinogenic, remain the same.
Many people assume or believe or hope or want to believe, right, that the EPA is there, like other federal agencies, to protect them and to protect the environment and to protect public health. But what we have seen over many, many years, essentially since the founding of the EPA in the 1970s, is that the agency also takes into account the economic impacts of its decisions and the impacts on the corporations.
Last year, Bayer spent nearly $8.5 million lobbying the federal government. Their ultimate goal is to win protections from lawsuits at the federal level, either through a bill in Congress or a rule from the EPA.
The company had sent consultants to Washington, D.C. to gauge leanings of the Trump administration during Trump's first term. And they came back, you know, with a report that the Trump administration says it has Monsanto's back on glyphosate, were the exact words. So I don't know that we would expect anything different in the current administration.
Trump has appointed chemical industry lobbyists to key EPA roles, all but ensuring that glyphosate will remain a profit engine for Bayer, no matter the cost.
EPA being a governmental organization that works under the president is very impressionable to political pressures.
The question now is if legislators in Congress will bend to Bayer's influence and rewrite the law to protect the company. If they do, it could mark the beginning of a new era, where multinational companies can put profit over safety and never pay the price.
It's the people versus the corporation. It's the people versus the well-heeled politicians. This is kind of a test. This is a test to see how our government really works.
Anytime that you start looking at anything that's a special interest over the benefit of what does the most good for the most people, you know, you're making a bad decision.
The right thing is to admit that this product is a carcinogen. You've made lots of money with this product. Now let's make it right with these people who have lost time, money, and their lives.
Thanks for watching. Don't forget to like and subscribe. And if you have ideas for other stories you think we should cover, leave them in the comments.